Welcome and thanks for tuning in. While you listen to this podcast and think about the topics that we'll explore, remember, the areas you're moving into are always most important. Plan well and move to protect others and yourself. That's how you deliver flawless service and move America safely. So enjoy life and enjoy this podcast. Today on the podcast, I have Christopher Rollins. Chris, how you doing?
Pretty good, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. So tell me and our listeners how you got into trucking.
So it started out growing up as a little kid. My dad was a truck driver. My grandpa was a truck driver along with my uncle. I kind of grew up around it my entire life, in and out. I did construction before I did trucking, and I did over-the-road construction. And one thing led to another. I just decided I want a different career path, and I talked to my dad, and we talked trucking for a while, like what goes into it, what kind of trucking I want to do, whether it was drive-in, reefer, flatbed, tanker. There's all different sorts of freight that you can haul. But I was looking for a spot where I can get my CDL. And I went over to, didn't ever get back with me. And then I went over to rail. The way that the trainers are, the way that the personnel acts, how they treat people is pretty good. It did help out that I had an understanding on trucking before I got into it. So that definitely helped me out in the process of getting my CDL. But there was a lot more that went into it that I didn't understand until I finally got here.
All right, Chris. So you went through our Get Your CDL program. You had no experience. You came in. You built that foundation with help from our people here that know how to build that foundation. Then you left that practice situation and went off into the real world with a driver trainer. How did that go?
I had a really good experience on the road with my trainer. I did. Me and him, our personalities were pretty much the same. We had the same type of humor. We got along really good. He would help me out with a lot of issues that I was having. For me personally, it was like my backing into tight spots. But being out there on the road with the trainer, you get to get away from training in the field out here in Marshfield, that little training yard they have set up. When you're out there against traffic, against real life scenarios, accidents, traffic backups, stuff like that, it definitely opens up a realization that this is not a training field at all. These are real people. You know, you're putting lives at risk if you're doing anything you're not supposed to, along with other drivers as well. A lot of drivers don't care. They don't pay attention. So you have to be vigilant at all times, no matter what the case may be. Don't be distracted while you're driving, because that also ends up in bad casualties. It goes down to just know what's going on, know what's happening around you. Don't be distracting. Don't be distracted. And just kind of get a visual on what you need to do to perform your job correctly. When you get out there on your own, it's a whole different story than having a trainer there with you telling you what you can and what you can't do. You have to make decisions for yourself when you're on the road by yourself. And I think that helped me out a lot to understand what I needed to do, how to do things.
All the training that you went through at rail,
exactly,
to get to solo.
Yes. When it came to my solo loads, I had a better understanding on how to do that as well. There were some conversations that I had to have with my training manager. And it was a really good experience, coming through school and then going on the road with the trainer. When I got out on my own, it was a little hectic. I will admit it was a little hectic. But nothing I couldn't overcome, oversee, and, get an idea how things work here.
How about the whole lifestyle of a trucker? I know your dad, you mentioned to me earlier before this recording that your dad kind of gave you some advice on what to expect.
Yes.
In that lifestyle.
Yes, he did.
How are you managing your lifestyle as a trucker?
When my dad told me about the lifestyle of being a truck driver, he said, if you can handle making sacrifices and being away from home, he said, then that'll be good. He's like, but if you're a homebody, you want to be home 24/7, this is not the job for you. And he put it out there blatantly to me. He said, if you cannot sacrifice time away from home, it's not for you. And I agree to everybody that gets into this industry to understand how long they're going to be out for, how much money you're going to be making on the time that you are out, and if you can handle being away from home.
And you got your girl, fiance, wife, what?
Fiance.
Fiance, she's back home?
Yes, sir.
You guys talk a lot technology?
We do. Yes. We do a lot of FaceTime to kind of cope with not being there for one another, especially like side by side when I'm usually home. It makes it difficult, yes, but as long as your partner is on the same like side as what you're, you know, on, such as, you know, if you guys are in this together, it will work out. But if you have different opinions, like you can have different opinions, but if she don't want you away from home, she don't think it's a good idea, it's not going to work out.
Well, I can just imagine, super stressful.
It is.
You and the fiance, future wife, being on the same page.
Yes.
Yes, I've heard that from many drivers.
That is a number one deal right there. I actually asked her before I had even put any thought into being a truck driver. My stepdad, he had given me a piece of advice. He said, the farther your hearts are apart from each other, the more you're going to grow with one another. And I didn't understand that at first. I kind of thought that when you're in a relationship, especially fixing to get married or even a girlfriend, boyfriend type situation, that your partner that you're with wants to see you physically 24/7, 7 days a week. You know, I figured that's how the relationship works. But he told me, he said, that's not how it works. He said, the more you are away, it makes it just that much, that makes it 10 times better when you go home.
Yeah, we could easily take stuff for granted.
Exactly.
It's just, yeah.
Yeah, we could.
But her understanding what you're doing out here,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're moving the country. That's huge.
It is.
You're bringing home pay so you guys can do what you want to do financially.
Right.
You know, set up your for retirement eventually or whatever you
insurance
want next in your life.
Insurance is a big thing too as well, especially when having a baby and when having her, you know, by my side, insurance is a big deal.
And Rail provides you with some good
Rail
insurance.
Rail does provide you with some good insurance.
Christopher, give people out there listening who are thinking about getting into this industry or maybe new in this industry mm-hmm. some good advice.
My dad told me this, and this is something I'm probably going to carry with me and that I will tell other drivers as well. It doesn't matter if you have 10 years experience. It doesn't matter if you have 3 months experience. You know, experienced drivers make mistakes on a daily basis, you know, just as much as a three-month-old driver or a two-month-old driver. You know, you're going to make mistakes, and that's fine, because at the same time, you're learning. You're just getting into this industry. You're just learning. I'm still learning. My dad's still learning. He's been doing it for 27 years, and he's still learning on it, you know. My grandpa, he's been doing it for 35 years. He does cattle hauling. He's still learning in it. You know, you never stop learning in this industry, I don't believe, coming from somebody that's been in it for a long time, you know.
Now, I want to inject in here, there is something you can do to avoid certain mistakes.
Yes.
Like those mistakes that can put others in danger.
Right.
Which is
like
the Safe 7.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about the Safe 7 in the railway. What was it that helped you or that got you to fully adopt the Safe 7?
To put this into a perspective, when you're on the road, and your sister or brother or family members are driving beside you, how would you want to drive? You know, how would you want to react in a situation? Would you want to stay like on their butt, or would you rather back off and give them some space? You know, because let's say, you know, the car in front of them slams on their brakes all of a sudden. What's going to happen? You're going to run to the back of that car or the back of that truck, and you can kill. And I think about my family being out there on the road, like, what if this was my sister? What if this was my brother? What if this was my fiance, or with the baby in the backseat even, you know? I think that plays a big factor in adapting to the Safe 7 for sure. I feel like if you put that in perspective as of your family being out there on the road, you shouldn't have no problem staying back. You shouldn't have no problem being distracted, nothing like that. You know,
slowing down, staying back, and don't be distracted by stuff.
Exactly.
Pay attention to know what's happening, right?
No load, like Rael says, is worth your life, period.
Yeah. I think that is a good end point. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening.